Hello and welcome to the Nature India podcast. I am your host, Shubhra Priyadarshini. On this podcast, you get to hear interesting and newsworthy stories from the world of science in India. Today's episode is about, well, it's about our own podcast. In a sense, talking about ourselves, our podcast, our science podcasting journey, and basically reminiscing about some of our best episodes through the years. It so happened that I had this wonderful conversation with Arushi Batra, who hosts a podcast on the journey of science podcasters in India on the India Biosciences platform. And it turned out to be quite a fascinating conversation, actually. I thought it would be great for our listeners to hear what Arushi and I talked about. And if you are someone who loves to know the inner workings of things, like most scientists and science enthusiasts do, in this case, how science podcasts are basically put together, then this episode is for you. So listen in as I happen to be on the other end of the questions this time with Arushi Batra.
Could you share a bit about your background into the world of podcasting?
We launched our first podcast in 2018, and I have anchored the podcast ever since, covering various themes and various seasons. Science podcasting in India truly appealed to us as the next frontier to cater to a dedicated audience.
That's nice. The series like Our Mobile World and I Am a Scientist and This Is Where I Work has picked up really well. And I personally have also heard many of those. This was a personal question that I had, you know, that how did you get to the initiation of these series and how has that initial inspiration evolved over time?
You know, a series is a very good way to talk about a set of topics in, say, snackable portions, if you will.
Yeah.
So our podcasts are designed to be very quick listens on the go. So each episode is somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes, not more than that. This really works well with a series because then you can dissect one story into subtopics and then address each topic in one episode. The Our Mobile World series that you talked about, it talks of how the mobile phone has transformed the world of research. It's a very small topic if you come to think of it. But then, you know, we don't give too much credence to the mobile phone being in our lives, penetrating it so much that it becomes an extension of our hand almost. And so to think of it from the perspective of science and research and in the scientific community, how everybody's using it, it gives it another layer of, you know, discussion. We come to the topic from various angles, from biodiversity to agriculture. We've done healthcare and then the question of e-waste or digital divide. So the series concept really works well with such a vast topic. So similarly, you talked about the I'm a Scientist series. We wanted to break the stereotype of the scientist of somebody being a man in a white coat, in a lab, doing boring stuff. We really wanted to sort of introduce our audiences to scientists who work in diverse and unique settings. So we shadowed those scientists in their unconventional workplaces, and it was a hugely popular series, and we really want to repeat it in another season sometime.
Yeah, you should. It was a very interesting series, you know, places where, you know, you've never even imagined people going and working. And that series was wonderful.
So we want to come to it from some other unique angle now, having scientists on our podcast speaking about their work and the rigor of science, the euphoria and the not so great days in science, etc. So the emotional aspect of science as well, not just the findings or the breakthroughs, because they don't happen every day. The enigma and excitement of science and scientists is what more people want to hear about, right? So our future programming will maybe keep that in mind.
That's very interesting, and the idea behind these series was definitely a brilliant idea. So, in what ways do you think that your journey into science podcasting has been unique or different from, you know, others in the field, except for the fact that, you know, these topics or these series are things that people have not yet covered, right, in other podcasts? So, apart from this, how do you think that your journey has been unique?
Well, I don't know if it is unique, but it surely is among the very few podcasts, like you said, covering science from the basic incremental research to big ticket events of science, news and analysis, and then to dedicated series like the ones that we just talked about. So we have also managed to cover, if you can call that unique, a vast number of voices in the scientific community in India. So each episode features about 3 to 4 people. You know, we also produce some episodes in Hindi. And that is another unique thing, I feel. Our Hindi episodes are tougher to produce, by the way, but they have way more listeners than the English ones. So that really is a testament to doing science communication or science outreach or science journalism in regional languages. And the success of the Hindi episodes really speaks to that.
Yeah, podcasting often comes with its own set of challenges. So, yeah, I mean, like you said that, you know, Hindi episodes are a little more difficult. So could you like also touch upon some other key obstacles that you faced and how did you overcome them?
So one challenge is to really find good speakers, of course, who can articulate well within a limited time, because you will have known by now that scientists can really go on.
Yeah.
You have to somehow curtail it down to your time. That involves a lot of retakes sometimes.
Yeah.
So for an episode of, say, 15 to 20 minutes, you're recording for 1.5 hours, 2 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
But this challenge multiplies when we seek out Hindi speakers to talk on science topics. Multiple retakes, of course. The other challenge is to find funders who can support podcasts, since this is a resource intensive process.
Yeah.
And so having a funder get into the mix is good. Thankfully, we've had some support from India Alliance for a few seasons now. Great partners to work with. They give us the entire independence, editorially speaking. And the other challenge, again, is building an audience. All podcasters' nightmare.
Yeah.
It's tough to build audiences since it is such a niche format, a niche subject area, science, and attracts a very niche audience. And it is tougher to get analytics to understand the growth or impact that your podcast is having on your audiences. So the very basic analytics from whichever platform you're hosting your podcast is what you have at hand. Convince yourself that this is something you want to keep doing. I think podcasting is also a very, very lonely journey.
And
feedback from audiences is so sporadic. So you thrive on whatever comes your way and keep doing it for the passion of the content format and with the conviction that it must be making an impact bigger than what is visible to you. So, so you just trot along in this journey somehow.
You've touched upon, you know, what I was about to ask you next. How do you perceive the impact of your podcast? Have there been any surprising outcomes or feedback? Like I myself have given you one today. I have heard all the episodes of I Am a Scientist and This Is Where I Work, and it has significantly changed my perspective. Even though theoretically I did know, you know, that there are scientists working in remote areas or places where it's very cold and doing other types of research, but listening to their journeys has been very interesting, at least on my level. Has there ever been a time where, you know, somebody's heard your podcast and you've got a very surprising feedback that you probably didn't expect?
Yeah, thanks for all those kind words. It helps.
It helps
that we have to keep doing what we do. Yeah, I do receive a lot of emails and DMs telling me that people enjoyed an episode or a series. Surprising outcomes have been when people have called us asking about, say, certain application or technology or research and wanting to know the contact details of the researchers and whether they can reach out to them. So the Our Mobile World series has had many such moments when industry partners or scientists have reached out to us, asking if we can help them collaborate with a certain lab or firm or a specific application that we talked about in our episodes. When we did the I Am a Scientist series, we received many social media comments and emails where people said it was so inspiring, like you said just now, to hear about these unconventional science careers.
Yeah.
Many scientists actually, they gave us recommendations of people who would be featured in this that series because they thought, yeah, why not? I mean, we didn't think of it like this, like an unconventional workplace. But yeah, my friend or my colleague actually fits into this description. So for one obituary podcast on Lalji Singh, we actually received messages from a number of international scientists, collaborators who said they actually played that that episode during their memorial meetings. So you know, you really never know who is listening to a podcast and where and what effect it has on them. You get to hear some feedback and then you take solace in the fact, like I said, that much of the real impact is actually really, really intangible. You can't see it.
Yeah, it's just like a black hole, you know. You just put out episodes and you really don't know where is it reaching. Yeah. So how do you go about, you know, conceiving an idea up till the release? So is it like all pre-planned or do you come up with newer ideas or how does the entire process look like?
Like all podcasters, we have a timeline. Our podcasts right now are monthly. So at the beginning of the month, we would have our editorial brainstorming about the topic. If it's a series, then we have it already marked out, like which month, what topic we are dealing with. Mm-hmm. Then we go into researching that topic, finding speakers, interviewing them online or going to the labs and interviewing them. And then preparing a script and editing those voices, then going into final mixing, then rolling out on the website as well as other platforms. We use Acast as one of our platforms, which then relays it to other platforms like iTunes and Spotify and Google Podcasts. And we also have to have the edited transcript along with it so that it is accessible to more people. This whole process kind of takes about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the podcast episode is published towards the end of the month. So that's how we plan it.
I'm sure it takes, you know, a lot of people and also efforts to, you know, bring out one very good episode out and content that can eventually, you know, lead to becoming a valuable educational resource. And your podcast have, you know, proven to be a valuable education resource. So how do you balance making content accessible to a broad audience while also ensuring that you don't deviate a lot from science and maintain the scientific accuracy in the podcast?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. And I do feel like that is a question we came to podcasting with. Scientific accuracy, like you mentioned, is the kind of the cornerstone of all our content. And just like in all our articles, for our podcast scripts also, we follow Nature's journalism style, following a very, very crisp, very concise, a very information dense tone, but at the same time making science easy to understand. We have that backbone of evidence in whatever we are speaking. We make sure everything that we or our guests say is completely fact-checked. It is not deviating from what our other content showcases, that is scientific accuracy. Our expressions, you will see, are free from massive flourishes. You know, we won't get extremely excited or too desperate about anything on our podcast. It does follow that emotion of science being a very precise and accurate, rigorous mechanism, you know, or enterprise. You will also see that our expressions on the podcast are very clear, very impartial, and very factual. So that way we try to not deviate, like you said, from the mix of having science, but at the level of everybody being able to understand it.
And it also makes sense. Only then, you know, you'll also reach out to a broader audience. Otherwise, it is again going to be limited only to the very specific scientific community, which anyways, you know, can access that information through other resources. Bringing this kind of content to a broader audience and ensuring scientific accuracy is the ultimate goal that, you know, almost all science podcasts have. What are Nature India's broader podcasting initiatives and goals, if you could help us understand what is in future?
I mean, it's as lofty a goal as any other podcast. Our goal is to reach as many listeners as possible. And since we operate out of India, we have a massive demographic dividend to support us. And we would love to have as many people come in and listen to our podcast. So that's why we also have started Hindi episodes. We do really want to reach more people. We also want to cover as many voices, like I said, in the scientific community in India. The science and science-led enterprise, so much on the growth trajectory. We really want to sort of be able to somehow capture that excitement. We also want to continue the podcast format and do not want to leave it somewhere in between just because there is a lack of analytics supporting us or we can't figure out what impact it is having, broadly speaking. But we would love to collaborate with more organizations to make sure that we have enough funding to keep it going also.
That's actually very important, you know, to you do have funding to keep it going. And even in the absence of it, your goal is not to stop in between. Just to deviate a bit, do you have a favorite episode from the podcasting journey that stands out to you or any particular moment that you remember when you look back at it?
Some of my favorite episodes, of course, are the ones that use voices from people outside the scientific community or say blend arts and science. For instance, in one episode on anger, which used Amitabh Bachchan's dialogues to elucidate the trope of the angry young man in Bollywood. Or when we used the voice of a man from the Sundarban Islands who had lost everything to a recent cyclone to open an episode on the United Nations Climate Change Conference of Parties. Those kinds of things that go beyond just interviewing somebody and taking their views for a podcast, those are the ones that are my favorites. I think all the I'm a Scientist and This Is Where I Work episodes are very close to my heart. They stand out because of the rich content and the, you know, the fact that many of them were actually recorded at their workplaces, which is very rare for podcasts to do. There are permissions involved, etc. So going past all of that, that was great. We produced two parts on how the pandemic touched the lives of scientists. These were in the thick of the pandemic. And these two were very, very emotional episodes where people were coming out with their fears and their, you know, absolute despair of doing science in those kinds of really desperate times. So you can hear a lot of emotional stuff in those two episodes. Even the Breaking Gender Stereotypes in Physics episode, where we heard from many women physicists some very stark stories of what happens in physics. Actually, very difficult to name just a few.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, you know, this is not a favorite episode. You're talking about the entire series of episodes that you've produced, because that is what happens, you know. You get emotionally involved or probably invested in every episode that you do, and the conversation flows so naturally that you just can't pick one unless, you know, you've dedicatedly thought about that episode. So I agree completely. So yeah, just towards the end of the podcast, for those, you know, who are aspiring to venture into science podcasting, what advice would you give based on your own experiences and lessons learned?
I'm still learning. and I think, you know, aspiring to attain a very high quality, both in terms of research and production, that is one of the goals that I think podcasters should have. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Also, why should someone dedicatedly come and listen to you is the question you should ask yourself. I keep asking that question to myself, and many episodes have turned out so that I thought, why did I make that episode? I could have just not published it. But you know, it's also the continuum, the fact that your audience expects something every month, that you have to keep producing those episodes, even if they may not be your best ones, but try to aspire, you know, to achieve that quality and to remain in the business, keep the continuum. Also, it is an audio story. So making sure that your voice, your pronunciation, your modulation is podcast worthy. Otherwise, you know, hire someone who might have those qualities and do a better job than you, even if you think your voice is the best. So many times I feel like my voice goes down into some kind of drone, like I'm just now in somewhere between, you know, being a high octave or a low octave. And then, oh gosh, that's so depressing to myself. What would my audience be thinking of? So, yeah, I mean, you can cultivate it over time.
Yeah.
Or you can ask someone else who's better than you to do it. But yeah, ultimately be patient. It's a very tough, lonely journey, like we talked about, producing a podcast and expecting impact or feedback very quickly. Science itself is very tough terrain anyway, so hang in there.
I mean, I agree 100% to all of the points that you've mentioned. You know, yeah, gets lonely. It is sometimes very difficult to hear your own episode and you're like, did I speak like that? Why did I do that? Yeah, I mean, I agree. But sometimes we're also overcritical of our own selves, and the audience might not even, you know, notice so much if the content is engaging. But yeah, very excited to see where Nature India's podcasts go further, and I am looking forward to the next season of I Am a Scientist and This Is Where I Work. And I learned a lot about many things that you spoke about and agreed to a lot of things as well.
Well, so there it is. Hopefully you've had a better idea of how we plan and execute this podcast and how much effort goes into bringing you a single episode. So keep listening and share our podcasts with friends and colleagues as we uncover fascinating stories from science in India. This is Shubhra Priyadarshini, and you're listening to the Nature India podcast.